You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
I've now been joined live here in the studio by the cast and crew of Musicality's Made in Dykenham. Everyone just like shout hi.
Hello
everybody.
Hi.
We've got Thomas and then Katie the choreographer, Carla, Claire, Paolo and Jack. I did know that. I wanted to call you Eddie. I'm going to start with you, Thomas, director of the show. Could you basically just explain the show?
I can give it a go. So, it's set in Dagenham in 1968 at the Ford factory. And it's based around a group of women who make the seats for these cars at the minute in that factory. A pay re-evaluation comes in, they're getting downgraded. It starts off as them wanting to fight to get upgraded to skilled work, because even though they get tested, they're not seen as being skilled workers. And then it snowballs into a fight for equal pay. So that's the base premise of the whole
You're getting
show.
Applause from the people in the background.
I remember the date. that's the main one. Yeah, so it's all about that. Specifically, there's a group of seven machinists with their union convener and a male role who are all called Monty, and they're all kind of the team who are fighting for it. And the big the ending of the show it's a big climax in the TUC conference, the trade union conference, to try and really push for the equal pay.
I'm assuming in done sort of a musical theatre kind of way, because trade union conferences, as far as I'm aware, never actually been invited to any. Can't imagine sort of song and jazz.
It's very over the top.
Yes, of course.
In the best way.
So you play Rita, who is the sort of the leader of the strike, for want of a better term.
Yeah.
Is it fun?
It's so
just sort
fun.
Of being that person's like, this is my time, guys.
It is. I remember listening to the soundtrack and thinking, oh, this would be like a really fun role to play. And can confirm it is. Just because it means so much, like, I think to all of us, you know, politically and socially.
Yeah.
But also being such a great musical, like you were saying earlier, the songs are just brilliant. And it is just so much fun. Every song we do, we're excited to do.
Yeah.
It's great.
Because what's interesting is that it was seen very briefly in the West End, we were chatting about just during the song break, with Gemma Arterton playing Rita. And I think we were all kind of in agreement that she did well in the role, but it was very much a case of here's a name that we're going to put on the poster.
Absolutely.
Rather than having sort of anyone who's that invested in musical theatre. Has it been like daunting at all trying to take on a role that was played by sort of famous actress, or is it nice to just go, right, you did that thing, this is my time, I'm going to make it my own?
To be honest, I completely stopped listening to it after it was cast, because I'd listened to it so much and I was like, I need to not sound like her.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but just I don't want to, you know, try and emulate what she's done, because what's the point in that? You know, you want to try and make it a bit your own.
Exactly.
So no, it's just been kind of fun to forget that that's a thing and take it on and try and do something a bit different with it.
It was really interesting watching you guys listening to that song, because you just come right and saying from Sits Probe, where you've sung it all through with a band, and going, well, it shouldn't sound like that. It should be our version.
And we have like our own little things, like we do, even though we're sat in chairs, we like still do a teeny bit of the choreo, because we just can't help it now, it's been drilled. I was watching it just, and everyone was like bobbing their shoulders at the exact same time. It's like a chorus sat along singing.
I suppose it's also nice to know that, you know, Katie especially, that the choreography is sinking in. When people can do it when they're in a radio studio, they can do it on stage. So for you guys that are like, you know, the acting leads, for want of a better word, what was it that appealed about the characters that you've ended up playing? Was it just a case of you auditioned and that's what you got, or did you have your heart set on Eddie, for instance?
Well, I was quite I didn't really know the show before I auditioned, so I kind of just went in not really knowing what part I particularly liked to play, just wanted to be a part of the show in general. I really liked Eddie's part in particular, because I enjoy singing mostly, and Eddie's got a fair bit of singing without having too many lines to learn. But he's a nice character, and he's a funny character, which I really enjoy playing, just having someone funny. And it's nice being like a support to the main role, if that makes sense, being there to just egg on the main part.
Yes, because Eddie is Rita's husband.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And sort of has to deal with the ramifications of...
Yeah. I think that's an interesting thing as well, is how Rita just gets dragged into it.
Yeah.
She's not intending on becoming, you know, the leader of the whole equal pay movement, and she does just get dragged into it. And that reflects in both Rita and Eddie, because Eddie then basically becomes a house husband.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was going to say, I think it's interesting to see, like, the struggle that he goes through, because he clearly, like, wants to support her, but at the same time, because of the social context of the time, he, like, really struggles to as well. So I always think that's quite funny to watch it play out, just his kind of internal struggle.
Yeah. I always ask this to anyone, you know, who, from the acting perspective, and then we'll get the production side of it later, and I'll be asking this to you three later on. How have rehearsals been? Thomas has physically stepped away from the microphone.
I'm out.
Well, I said to some of these earlier, it made me laugh because the men in the show are portrayed as very, very silly and
no
don't really
needed.
Know what's going on, whereas the women are obviously forward-thinking and know what they're doing. That is directly reflected in most of the rehearsals. So you just get the boys who kind of just muck about and don't know what they're doing, and the girls do know what they're doing. But luckily, like I say, because the whole character, all the male characters are kind of mucking about anyway, it kind of gets available. But no, recently we've buckled down a bit. To be fair, we've buckled down a bit now.
Getawayable commentary. Danny definitely needs to get on the poster somewhere. Is it nice though to have that kind of comedy aspect to a show, because it's based on a true story? It very easily could become quite heavy and serious. That comedy seems to be pervasive throughout the show. Just listening to, you know, to the soundtrack, there's humour in the songs, and like even, you know, the one that I'm going to be playing in a few minutes, the letter which you actually get to sing. Yeah. It's a really heartfelt, emotional number, but there's still elements of comedy in it.
Yeah.
As a director or as actors, is that something that you've enjoyed having? I can imagine as a director, there's an element of going, oh, for God's sake, just crack down and get on with things.
Yeah, there's sometimes where we've been going through a song, like the very first time we've done it, or like we've been blocking it, I've been telling people what to do with their faces, or like where to be standing, and I've gone, right, this is an emotional bit, and then it'll be like, oh, but then it mentions using fairy liquid to clean the toilet, so lighten up for a bit. So it's taken like a couple of minutes to get our heads around, and then eventually we've all gone, right, okay, no, that works fine. Like, it's... So it does click, but the first time you read it, without any acting around it, it does seem totally out of the blue sometimes. But when hopefully people will see, when the way we've done it is... We tried to make it as natural as possible.
Yeah.
So with those parts, I think it all ends up making sense. But the first read was a bit difficult to get my head around.
Yes, and I can imagine that.
We noticed as well that like the first act is, there's a lot more humour in the first act, and then you get to the second act and it like...
The mood climbs.
Oh my gosh, yeah. For the entire thing. It just is so sad. You know, there's songs one after another that it's getting really heavy. But then, you know, it gets to the end and there's like a satisfying resolution, which is nice.
Yeah.
But to be honest, that comedy still kind of comes through at points, I think, in the second act.
Yeah, I think it kind of works. In the second act, it works more as a break between
it's like dark
between
humor.
The sad bits. Yeah, it's kind of a bit like, oh, and normality is resumed because people have to get on with their lives even though so much is happening. So that it doesn't change the characters or anything, just like certain things happen that kind of make it a bit of a down moment. But then it switches and you realise, like, oh, it kind of makes you realise more that it is based on a true story, because people had to keep going, and, like, the show must go on in life as well as actually in the show.
Mm. As actors, is it nice to have that opportunity to do a bit of everything? A bit of comedy, a bit of sort of dramatic acting?
Yeah,
and...
definitely. Because it's nice, it's just nice to not... If it's constantly all emotion, like, full of emotion, it can drag a bit and it can, you know... So it's nice to, say, go from doing Storm Clouds, which is one of the songs where tensions are first starting to build and cracks are starting to show. It's nice to go from a song like that to say, then, oh, let's now practice Made in Dagenham, which is obviously much lighter, and it makes it much easier to practice them all without getting too bogged down in emotion.
But speaking of getting bogged down in emotion, as I said, you actually sing the song that I'm going to play. Yeah. Do you want to give a bit of background to this song?
Yeah, no. So basically, because Rita's now become the leader of the movement towards equal, well, what has now become equal pay, Eddie is basically tasked with running the house and looking after the kids a lot more because Rita's a lot busier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to the point in this song where he's basically decided that Rita is just not doing what he thinks she should be doing in terms of looking after the house and the kids. So he's written a letter to her to say, I've taken the kids to my parents because you're not looking after them enough, basically.
And I can't do this on my own no more, and I need you round, or else what is this all for? I need you to stand beside me. I need you to be my wife. It's such a simple thing. I need you in my life.
I've now been joined with Katie, choreographer, and then Carla and Paolo, actors, shall we say. So I'm going to start, like, come to you first of all. Would you like to explain your character sort of in the relation and context of the show?
So I play Harold Wilson, the ex-Labour Prime Minister, Prime Minister at the time that this is all going on. And don't worry, it's not controversial because we can all agree to hate him in this because he is completely useless as a Prime Minister. He has no clue what's going on. He thinks printing money is going to solve all of the problems that the UK is facing. And he has a bit of a song and a dance about it.
Nice.
Yeah, lovable, useless Prime Minister.
It's a way to improve politics, isn't it? Just put a song and dance number in there,
exactly.
And it'll be fine.
I play Barbara Castle, who is the Minister of Transport. She's kind of a hard-headed woman, I'd say, who straightens Harold Wilson up a little bit.
Tries to keep him in check.
Yeah. And she's kind of dichotomised in this, like, play because she wants to help the women achieve equal pay because she's a woman, but also she wants to, like, export and balance trade figures. I don't really know what it means, but yeah, she's trying to do that.
But you know enough to play.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got the lines there. It's fine.
Very true.
So what has been your favourite part of rehearsals?
Oh, interesting.
It's,
I mean,
hard.
It sounds cliche, but you know, there are so many things to choose from. It's been a lot of fun with my character specifically, just learning the ins and outs of it, because it is a comedy role.
Mm-hmm.
I am sort of the comic relief part of the show, I guess. And it's naturally, that means it's a lot of fun in rehearsals, because I'm given a lot of freedom by our director, Tom, to use...
Shout out.
Yeah, a little shout out to Tom. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, like, putting that character together, because I've done comedy before a few times, like a comedic role, and it's been a lot of fun putting that together, but then also doing group numbers and meeting this amazing group of people and realizing, even though all the team have the degrees of their own to focus on, they put so much work into every number and every rehearsal. It's been a real pleasure getting to know everyone.
So welcoming as well, because I'm like first year, so
so young.
Yeah.
Oh god.
So I'm kind of coming and everyone's been absolutely lovely. I say rehearsals, it's been hard because Barbara Castle's quite serious,
mm-hmm.
and so many times Paolo's just made me laugh, like even just in the middle of a scene when Tom said, you know, this is a serious run, like, you know, you can't laugh, and like I've just tried not to giggle. So it's just like the people are absolutely like lovely, and it's been so great. Yeah.
How have rehearsals been as choreographer? Because I feel like with any group of people, you've got the people who definitely can dance, you've got the people who can learn to dance, and then you've got the people who, bless their hearts,
they try their best.
Jack patting Paolo on the shoulder there.
Yeah, no, it's been good. I wouldn't say that there's anyone who can't dance. It's just been really, really fun because, again, it's not too much of a serious show. So
yeah.
I've really had an opportunity to just, like, mess about, really, with the songs and stuff like that. It's just been hilarious trying to, like, especially like Paolo mentioned, he's quite a comedy role. His song for me was just one of the best things I got to choreo, really.
Yeah.
Just to have him mess about for about 3 minutes it's good.
What kind of like what style of choreography is it, just for the listeners? Because when you listen to the soundtrack, it's really got that 60s style to it. It's musical theatre, but it's not all like jazz hands and tap.
I agree. That's definitely what I've tried to go for. So I've watched so many like YouTube videos on 60s dancing, and tried to put as much of that as I can in, really. Other than one number, which is horrendously American and cheesy and very cheerleadery and stuff. So it's quite a mixed bag, but like you said, not really too musical theatre-y, definitely not the like stereotypical musical theatre that you would necessarily think of when you go and see something.
Have you got any particular favourite songs that have just been you heard and were like, I can't wait to choreograph that scene?
Again, Paolo's song, it stood out for me. But also there's a song called Viva Respawn towards the end of the second act, and I actually used it in auditions because it's just a really fun song, and it has almost all of the whole cast in it, and it's just a joy to like break up the heaviness of the second act. It is really there at a good time, and it's just a load of fun basically to watch everyone have a bit of a dance when it's getting a bit heavy.
That's the thing, it's part of what I find with any rehearsal process, like some of the best bits are when you're just watching other people do their things. Is there a particular part of the show that you guys just love to watch?
Oh my god,
Storm Clouds. The end of Storm Clouds, because I'm off stage, I think we're off stage, aren't we?
And Carla
just the
stage.
Sound of it is absolutely incredible, and just watching everyone because they kind of move as one, and Katie's choreography is brilliant. We're kind of I mean, I think the first time I watched it I'd stop singing. It was absolutely, I just was like, wow.
I mean, like less good for when it's like live on stage, but I mean, what a glowing recommendation for the rehearsal process. Just blown away. It's one of those shows, I'd said this to the guys earlier, I've never been able to see live because, you know, it was on in the West End for a relatively short run. And I'm so excited that you're now bringing it to Nottingham. So I always ask this to Musicality and people always sigh as soon as I ask it. But why should people come and see this show? Because that's the reaction.
Because Paolo does a Yorkshire accent. Huddersfield? Is it Huddersfield?
Yeah. Do we get a sneak preview?
Yeah, thanks, Carla, for that. I can do my best. Well, Barbara, what would you do if you were me? What's your political strategy? You need to brush up your Machiavelli. And that's all you're getting now.
You have to go and buy the tickets to get the full effect.
Thanks for that, Carla.
Sorry.
I was going to say, actually, in rehearsals, I love listening to Carla's song, An Ideal World. I'm not going to say that now because she sort of dropped me in it there. But,
bless
but
you.
No, yeah, like, I would absolutely recommend Carla's song. Definitely. I would absolutely go and see it just for that. It's this this look on what the world could be like if the women continue with this defiant march towards equal pay, and why, you know, every little battle is hard fought and the victory is absolutely worth it. So
where can people get tickets? When is it on?
It's in the Nottingham Arts Theatre from the 13th to the 16th of February. So we open 10 days from today.
That's scary.
Yeah. Everyone's eyes have just widened greatly. The tickets are on the Nottingham Arts Theatre website. And you can follow us on social media. If you search Made in Dagenham UON or Made in Dagenham University of Nottingham, you'll find it there. We have a show every night starting at 7:15 from Wednesday to Saturday, the 13th to the 16th. But we also have a matinee on the Saturday as well at 2:15. Everything.
We'll put all of the links in, you know, Facebook and Twitter and everything, so you can head to at Showtime URN or URN Showtime on Facebook for that, and definitely go and see it because, like, even if you don't like musical theatre, supporting students here in Nottingham is so important, and it's going to be a fantastic show.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Honestly, just listening to everyone today, like, everyone in the cast is so talented. Like, me and Tom often just sit there in rehearsals and we are literally blown away by everyone in the cast at certain moments. It's just great. The group of people we've got is just especially talented, and I can't even like begin to say how proud of them we are as a team. Just please go and see them, because they deserve everyone to come and see what they've got to show.
And if you enjoy enjoyed that and you want to support musicality right here in Nottingham, you can catch their version of Made in Dagenham at the Nottingham Arts Theatre from the 13th to the 16th of February. I'll be editing a version of that interview and putting it up online with all the details about how to get tickets, and you definitely should go and watch it because it promises to be an absolutely fantastic show.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.